yesterday we talked about the fact that in the Midbar they didn't mow their kids, and the Gemara gave two reasons, either because of Chulshu the Urcha, either because of the weakness of the road, or because of they didn't have the Ruach Tzvainis, because they were, the Gemara gave two reasons why, either they were Nizufim, Shem was upset at them, so therefore he didn't give them that pleasant wind that gave adequate sunlight to heal the Bris Mila, or because he didn't want the Anani HaKavod blocked out that sunlight necessary to heal the Mila. Now, two things. Number one, Taisus asks, so why couldn't they bring the Pesach all the years in the Midbar? Right? Why couldn't they bring the Pesach all the years in the Midbar? Right? Because they didn't mow their kids. But we learned earlier that when you can't mow the kids, you can bring the Karban Pesach. You can't. Right? The kids are Arelim, so the fathers can't bring the Karban Pesach because their kids aren't mild, but they can't. Yes. So Taisus answers, Enochinami, they did bring the Karban Pesach, Edition Taisus, but when it says in Chazal they only made one Pesach, it means they only made one Pesach Kahalocha, that they did it 100% the right way. The other ones, they were Seimach and the Heter and the fact that they couldn't mild. Chazal also tell us elsewhere that B'nai Levi did mild at the Midbar. So even though they had this danger, they did mow in the Midbar. B'nai Levi continued mowing. What they're had to do with it, I don't know, but B'nai Levi did continue to mow in the Midbar. Okay, so we are at the two dots. I am based on Aleph 72A1, I assume, in the two dots, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines in the top. Tana Rabbanan. Ko Eisen Abom Shana Chai Yisoh B'Midbar. They did get that northern wind at midnight, but that doesn't help them for the sunlight, so therefore can't do bris mila anyway. So at the end of the day, it didn't do anything for mila, but at least at midnight, Hashem has rachmanas, the eighth ratzon of midnight is such that that even at Chatzais they got it. Now Chatzais speaks out that the Gemara says in Gittin that Ruach Tzifaynis is there all the time. But it comes by itself sometimes. And that never happened except by midnight. There's the whole thing they needed is sunlight, Rashi learns. And the Ruach Tzifaynis just scattered the clouds to have the bright sunlight, which they couldn't have. Dr. Gemara, Hashem Hika Kol B'char brings the pasuk that Hashem killed all the B'char. My Talmud, what are you learning from that pasuk? What does that got to do with the northern wind? That the Gemara Kamash Malon, the Ace Ruts in Milsi. We see that Makas B'char has happened at midnight, so that shows us that it's an Ace Rutsin. An Ace Rutsin is something, meaning even when Hashem is upset at Klal Yisrael, an Ace Rutsin means something. And therefore, we say that if there has to be a Ruach Tzvainis, which there is in the world, it happens at midnight, which is the Eis Ratzon. Meaning, again, the Pasuk has nothing to do with the northern wind. All that Pasuk proves is that Chatzais is a very opportune time for Klal Yisrael. That is why people get up by some people say Tikkun Chatzais, because Chatzais is an Eis Ratzon. Rashi.
Go to sleep first.
So that's what they used to do. They used to go to sleep and get up at Chatzais. Today, a lot of people don't even go to sleep till after Chatzais. Right? Somebody told me this, that Ramalchiel Cutler, the Zangazutten Stark, was here over Pesach. He was here. He had his heart condition. The doctor told him that after he's finished with this, he can go back to his regular schedule of sleeping as little as he slept before. However, he told them, sleep early in the night rather than later in the night. A sleep early in the night does more for your body than a sleep later in the night. He said, so don't stay up very late. Go to sleep earlier, get up earlier. Those same amount of hours. Somebody told me that, he heard this from Makio Sanolo, that the doctor said, those same amount of hours are more effective at the early part of the night, the earlier part of the night, I don't mean 5:30 p.m., the earlier part of the night than the later part of the night. Just, I thought it was a very thing because I like to do that, so I felt very good. I try to get up early and go to sleep early, you know, what's the name of it does, Drycast does.
What's early?
I try to go to sleep by 11.
That's early.
Well, I'm not home till 10 something. Hey, Swatson, Milsey.
Who's it? His doctor, our friend over there?
No, whoever was in the clinic.
Goldstein's in the clinic?
No. Hey, Swatson, Milsey. Again. No.
Hey,
Swatson, Milsey. But even the Chatzai Slila, hey, Swatson, Avoy. Goldstein is Mr. Goldstein's son. V'kivin the chatzai Shmuel Goldstein. V'kivin the chatzai Lila Eitz Ratzani. Since the chatzai Lila is Eitz Ratzani, I've already lamakis v'chayris. Havi nami Eitz Ratzani l'ruach tzvaynis. V'ein loch yaim shruach tzvaynis eim eshevet v'chatzai Lila. There's no day that the northern wind doesn't blow in the middle of the night. V'zoh is similar to David. Kinnur ha'tovoi l'maylam imitasoi. Rashi brings in David HaMelech. The Gemara in Brachas. He had a harp on top of his bed. V'nik v'tav. V'nikva klape tzafen. It was set towards the north. Kivin shegiach chatzais laila. Ruach tzvaynis meshevas bay. The northern wind blew menagim elav and it's played by itself. Who near? V'hai the nukatok rabbam shana. Laimelach. Shafilu oisim mem shana the nizufim hayav. V'leinashim lem b'yamim. Even those 40 days that they were in, that Hashem was upset at them and it didn't blow by day. Nashim lem chatzais laila. Mishim be'eitz ratzinu. Anyway, so this is the source, one of the sources, that it's good to daven at midnight. Also brought down that it's good to daven at the change of the mishmeres, which is two-thirds of the night, meaning people can't get up at chatzais, they should get up the last third of the night, because it's also an eis ratzon. From chatzais till morning is supposed to be an eis ratzon. Again, just mentioning what the farshim say. Okay, Amar Rav Huna. Dvar Taira, biblically speaking, Moshuch Eichu B'Truma. If somebody goes and he makes himself look, he pulls the skin over the Atara to make himself look like an uncircumcised person. Right? So he did have circumcision, he did have a bris milah, but then he decides, for whatever reason, that he's going to be Moshuch Arlasai, which is an Aveira, by the way. But we're not dealing now with the Avera of doing that, right? But we're talking now about whether he can eat Truma or not. Is he an Oral? Is he an Oral? At this point, his Atara is covered. His force, it looks like he never had a Bris Mila. What does his Halacha status come to Truma? Zakt Rabbi Yehuna. V'aytaira biblically, Mashuch Eichu B'Truma. A Mashuch can eat Truma. However, rabbinically, they said he can't eat truma because he looks like an aro. Rashi, Mashuch. Now, Rashi doesn't blame the guy. Rashi says mo shenimshuch arlasai. Sometimes it happens naturally that the skin grows and covers the arla. Thank you so much. The kusis atara. So Rav Huna is paskening that biblically he's fine. Rabbinically, we don't want him to eat truma because he looks like an aro. Makes right. Right, it says Mashuch Tzarech Shehimo.
One side is he's doing this himself, right?
Either way, but makes no difference.
According to the side that he's doing it himself, isn't that a mumur of the mitzvah of Achas?
Why is it a mumur? Again. If you learn it's usher to do it biblically, not necessarily does it. I mean, there is a halacha that says somebody's meishuk arlasa in lechelik leilam haba, but some learn it means. But some learn that means that somebody who doesn't maul. This is a big shaila to learn. Maybe we'll see it at the end of the sugya. But this is here we're talking about eating truma. We're not talking about a daveira mitzvah. We're not talking about giving him after yaina, or whether he should get kayin. You know, the first Aliyah on Rosh Hashanah. That's not what we're talking about. Makes right. Mashuch Tzarech Shehimo. Right, it says he has to correct it. So the Gemara understands for a moment, and the Gemara is going to ask why it understood that way. That means biblically. That means he's an Aro. So it's the Gemara, but Drabana. Tzarech means rabbinically. That's all it means. He should do it. It doesn't say he can't eat truma. Rashi, Mashuch, we did that already. Trek the Gemara, the Karla, my Karla. What was the question? A Tzarek study. Usually Tzarek is not biblical. Tzarek, if it were biblical, we would say Mashuch is an arrow. It doesn't say that. It says he should correct himself. Rashi, a Tzarek study. Mashuch is an arrow. Doesn't say a Mashuch is an arrow. And for the Gemara, Ktoy B'Seifa. The basis of the mistake that we thought that this Braisa meant biblically is based on the end of the Braisa. Because the Braisa continues. Mashuch Tzarek Shemo, Rabbi Yehuda Aymer Lo Yimo Abneshi Sakan Nehilai. He shouldn't do Bris Milah because it's dangerous. And therefore, leave himself alone. He had Bris Milah, it was Nimshach Arlasai. Don't do it again because it's dangerous. Amrulai. So they told him, not true. Because why is it dangerous? A trashy, very important. Anytime a person cuts in the male organ, he might cut and make himself a krushavcha. He won't be able to have children, and he won't be able to marry a Jewish woman. So Rabbi Yehuda says, leave it alone. Amrulai. So the Chachamim answered him. It's not true. It's not so dangerous. In the time of Ben Kuziva, this was what we call Bar Kochba. We call him by, he was the one that led a rebellion against Rome 60 years after the Churban. The Romans had gone and taken Jewish men and forced their Arla to be Nimshach. The Romans wanted the Yidden to look like the Goyim. They wanted to eradicate Judaism. So they went and they took all Jews that were circumcised and forced them to be Meishach Arlasam. When Ben Kuziva launched the rebellion and he was victorious at the beginning, they all remodeled. They all took off that Nimshachar Lasai, and it didn't affect their ability to have children. Meaning, they didn't become Krushavchas. It's doable. And therefore, what you're saying is dangerous is not true. Historically, we've proven that's not dangerous. Shenemar. Himo Yimo Avilu Me'abam. It says Himo Yimo means sometimes people have to do it a second time. V'yaymer, as Brisi Hafer. It says about somebody he has canceled, for lack of a better word, nullified my covenant. The rabbi says hamashach. It means to say somebody who nullified it by being meishach arla. Violated. I like nullified. The Beis Halevi teaches that the reason we think hafer is mashach because he says in the Dorim we find a concept: a chacham is matir, a baal is mefer. There are two people that can cancel the Dharm. A person can go to a Chacham, and the Chacham removes the nether, or three adjaitas, we do Ataras Nadarim. Or he can go to, a husband can cancel his wife's Nadarim. Hafer means canceled from now and on. A Chacham doesn't cancel it from now and on, he removes it retroactively. A husband cuts it, Hafer. Hafer means now. So as Brisi Hafer means, at least according to the Gemara Savamina, he's done something to cancel his bris. Not that he never had one. That's the Gemara's Havamina. But that he canceled it. How do you cancel a bris? By being Meishach Arlasai. So the Gemara, and the Gemara's going to say why we need two psukim. Because you could say himo yimo avula me'apama means go back and get those tzitzin, those strands of flesh, skin that cover the atara, that you didn't do a good enough job. So Himo Yimo says, go back and fix it. Tashemaz, b'isi hefer l'rabbis desamashach. Midika sover, midika nasa l'ashas kru. We're bringing sukkim with the raisi. That's why we thought that the obligation of a mashach to maul himself is biblical. We brought two sukkim, Himo Yimo, and as b'isi hefer. You don't bring sukkim on a rabbinic thing. So therefore the Gemara thought that a Mashach's obligation to mal himself is biblical, which would mean he's an Aro. But the answer is, no, Vulahi. Midrabanan, this is all rabbinic, Ukras Machtav Alma. And that's not really the Pashup shot in the Pasuk. It is a hint. By using the word Hefer, we're hinting that the Rabbanan should say about a Mashach that he should mal himself. But it is not biblical. It is not biblical, and therefore Ravuna is correct, and he's not fair. We thought that the Braisa meant biblical, and the reason we thought the Braisa meant biblical is because it brought psukim. You usually bring psukim for biblical rules. Kamash Malon, that it's really rabbinic, and it was the psukim are what we call a smachta, a hint. Now, when are drushes, and when they are hints, I never know the source. I trust the Gemara when it tells me that.
No. Is it a
There's no love.
First
of all, we thought it was a derisa.
There's no love.
What love? Love and intiglase means the Torah said don't do something, and if you do it, do correct it.
Right, so
the Torah never said don't do it.
So the Torah said
if a guy does it, brisi hafer. He's nullified his covenant. Love and intiglase is when the Torah words it as a love. And we're talking about whether we should give him malchus or not. We're not discussing that here. Why are you bringing that? I'm trying to figure out why you're bringing it in.
If it's a deraisa, isn't there a lav to...
No.
Where's
the lav?
I don't know.
There is no lav. Sometimes it's isuri deraisa. The Torah did not write, don't do it.
It said,
if you do it, this is what you've accomplished. As Brisi Hafer. Now you have to correct it. But there's no lav. We're not giving a guy malchus.
I'm just saying the point that you couldn't do it. I thought was a law.
No.
Rashi, Rabbi, can I ask a quick question about
that? Sure.
If one uses a pasuk for the asmachta, how can another argue with him, even though it's rabbinic?
Yes, you either use the asmachta or you don't. I mean, you're asking, how could Rabbi Yehuda argue if the pasuk tells me?
I'm trying to figure out how it's hard for me to get a strong handle on how if I understand the concept generally of asmachta, but if it's based on a pasuk, then hold by that asmachta. Believe in that asmachta, use it as a something, I don't know if it's used logical, I don't know if it's handed down. Do you have to do some explanation as to why the pasuk isn't a remez for your...
I guess one would have to, but the Gemara here doesn't go into it. Rabbi Yehuda would have to say, what is the purpose of the pasuk? Correct.
Okay. Very slippery. Okay.
Actually, don't you actually? B'mei ben kuziva, shemashchem ayim dekachavim b'aynas. The Gayim went, and they were meishach the Arla against their will, b'krach Beitar, in the city of Beitar. B'gavra yad ben kuziva v'nuchem behem, and ben kuziva got strong and fought them, v'natcham, and he beat them. U'malach ha'yisroh shtei shanam u'mechza, he ruled over the Yidden for 2.5 years. V'chazru u'malu b'yamav, and they redid their breasts. Hu'savar, ahuda isav le'elder of Huna Mereshav, the one who asked him, Ravuna, Sabra me the Nasri the Rabbana, Limbud the Messiah me the Raisa, since they bring Psukim, Amma me the Raisa. And the answer is, it's only an Asmachta. Sagta Gemara Vaita Mesre. And the question now is going to go the other way. We're going to prove that a Mashach can even eat Truma rabbinically. Going the other way. Right? Ravuna said he can eat biblically, not rabbinically. So the first question was to prove that he can't eat biblically. And we got out of that. Now we're going to try to prove the other way, that he can even eat rabbinically. Let's read it. Meitzvei. Tumtum ein eichel b'truma. A tumtum is someone whose genital area is covered. And we have no way of knowing whether he's male or female, whether it is male or female, because the genital area is covered, right? So, therefore, we don't know. He might be male, and if it's male, he's an oral. Now, not against his own wishes, but he's still an oral. So therefore, he cannot eat truma. So a tumtum cannot eat truma. Now, if we found out that it was a female, there would be no mitzvah mila, and if it's a daughter of a kayan, she would eat truma. But since it's a son of a kayan, maybe, and he's not a nimol, he's an oral. Nashav ve'avadav, and the Gemara is going to jump on this in a second, if he gets married, his wife and his servants are chlim. Now, avadam is fine. No matter what he is, male or female, his avadam can eat truma. He or she is a kayan. So the slaves they own can eat truma. The problem is, the Gemara says he marries. How can he marry? He might be female. How could it might be female? How does it marry a girl? We don't know what it is. That's going to be the Gemara's problem. But at this point, we're not interested in that. We're moving on to the next line. Mashuch, one whose arla grew over, one whose skin grew over the atara, and he looks like he's not mal, or neilu kishumo, or a kid born when he already had a bris mila, right? So at this point, this man the Amar holds, he does not need anything. He's circumcised. Hara elu eichlin, they can eat truma. Now, clearly, a mashuch can eat truma. Hare elu eichlim. It's practical. It's not saying b'daraisa b'drab. It's a hare elu eichlim. They can eat truma. Right. So Rashi learns, you see from here, that a mashuch doesn't have to do anything. He's fine. He's good to go. Tysus learns he should correct it rabbinically, but it doesn't ban him from eat truma. Right. Rashi says, according to this b'raisa, the mashuch doesn't even have to correct himself. Tysus says that's not true. Rabbinically, we would like him to fix himself, but it doesn't withhold him from eating truma. But this is clear, not like Rav Huna. Tani Mias, I'm sorry, but let me just finish the b'raisa. And then the b'raisa goes back, I'm sorry, yeah, you can ask your question.
What was he going to
say? He said, a mashuch b'drabonon cannot eat truma.
A mashuch who?
Makes no difference how he's a mashuch.
I would see a big difference. The mashuch, if he did it...
Makes it again. Is he an aro or is he not an aro? Fact is a fact.
Is that,
he is or he isn't? So Rav Huna said, biblically he's not, rabbinically he is. First question, we tried to prove that even biblically he's an aro. We got out of that. Now we're proving that even rabbinically he's not an aro. The brisa says a mashuch can eat truma. Now, Rashi takes it to the point and says, you see from here that a mashuch doesn't even have to fix himself. Taisa says, you don't see that. He has to fix himself, but, right, but he can eat truma. Let's continue the Braisa. Suck the Braisa. Tum tum, we did that already. Tum to the Rav, I'm sorry, I skipped part of the Braisa. Let's go back. I'm sorry, it was my fault. Mashuch v'nayel g'shumal elu eichlim. Androgynous eichel b'tumah. Androgynous has both the genital area of a woman and a man, meaning he has both the stomatum of a woman or a man. We don't know how to treat him, but it doesn't make a difference. He or she is a kohenis. It is a kohen. It was born from a kohen, so whether it's a boy or a girl, they can eat truma, right? Because there's no arla here. His male organ can be mauled. And then the b'raisa repeats itself again. Tum tumein oichel le'betruma v'lo b'kachim. And we'll find out why the b'raisa repeated itself later. Tani mi yes mashuch v'nayel g'shumal. All right, I'm sorry. Yeah, why not? He had a bris mila. We don't know whether it's male or female. We don't know how to treat halachically an androgynous.
There's no arla. I mean,
there's no arla.
You can't eat kachim.
Right, but then mein oichel b'kachim. Right, because a woman can't eat kachim. Talking about kach kadashim, chatas. I'm sorry, I skipped that line again. Because if androgynous is a woman, can't eat kach kadashim. Right? He's limited to what a female can do because he might be female. It might be female. Gender neutral. Right? Tanimias, mashach l'nayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimayakshimay Rashi. Dr. Rashi. Make sure tum tum and echo betruma betal yisefu ksani boyis. Mashach chuft and Ravuna chuft. Slugged up Ravuna.
Margretin? Does that mean that Androgynous needs to have a bris mila before he's chayav?
Correct. Yes, is the answer.
And what about sitting in a sukkah?
He's a misafik. There's three opinions. I mean, there's two opinions about an androgynous. Either he's a safik zachar, safik nekeva. There's a mandiyamah that says he's neither of the two. He's his own creature. There is, for all information about an androgynous, at the end of Masechtas Bikurim, in Seder Zroim, which has no Gemara, there is a fourth Perek, which is not Mishnayos, which is Brisas. And the Perek is called Andragonus.
No.
And it goes through all the halachas of Andragonus. Also, later in Masechtas Yevamos, from that Pei Beis and Pei Gimel, around there, end of the 8th Perek, we will delve more into the sugya of Andragonus. But at this point, it makes no difference to us. It can be anything, but they're born to a kayan. They can eat truma. It can't eat kachim, because they might be female.
In other words, at birth, or at 8 days old, we know whether it's an androgynous or not, right?
I understand they know that at birth, because it has both simanim. It has the simanim of a boy and of a girl.
Okay. Thank you.
Zog the Gemara weiter. Amemar, tumtum eina eichu betruma. Because we brought this brisa, we're now going to analyze this brisa. It says the tumtum doesn't eat truma, but his wife and his avadim can eat. In fact, the Gemara, nashim l'tumtum in alei. What do you mean, his wife? We have no idea if it is male or female. How does he have a wife who eats truma? That means she's married to him. It might be a woman and a woman. Zog the Gemara. I will not respond to that statement. Zog the Gemara. Elaim the Kaddish. If you're going to say that he did Kedushin, the Tanya, you're going to say, based on the following brisa, Tumtum Shekidesh Kedushin of Kedushin, Niskadesh Kedushin of Kedushin. If the Tumtum does Kedushin to a woman, we say it's a Kedushin. And if he receives Kedushin from a woman, we say, from a man, it's, we say it's Kedushin. Means we treat him both like male and female, eh? But that's only Luchumra, we don't know. So we say, if he married a woman, maybe she's married. So we make him give a get. And if he got married to a man, we say, maybe you're a woman, so you need a get. We don't know. So therefore, we have to do misafik. Eimed amina luchumra. Lekula miamina? To let his wife eat truma? We're machmer that if he did kedushin, she needs a get. We don't know what it is. It might be male, so the kedushin is a kedushin. It might be female, so it's a waste of time. Give a get. And tumtum receives kedushin. It might be a female. It was a good marriage. It might be a male. It's not a good marriage, so we want a get. But that's because it's a chumra. But to say lekula, to allow his wife to eat truma and assume he's male, why? And same-sex marriage does not work. Amar Abaya, Shebeyev Nikarv Mibachutz. This tumtum that we say his wife can eat truma is talking about a tumtum that we know is male. However, let me explain. However, his male organ is covered, but his testicles are visible. And therefore, as far as knowing what gender he is, he's male. As far as eating truma is concerned, he's an aro. We can't get to his arla. It's covered. The skin covers that part of the body, cannot do a bris. But at the same time, we know his gender, because the bayav or mibachot, we know he's male. So therefore, if he marries a woman, she's married to him.
He never consummates the marriage.
That's the Rashi. We'll get there. Zog to Rashi. I'm sorry. Tumtum eichu b'truma shemim yinikra yimtzim zachar baru aru. We might find out he's a zachar and he's an aru, meaning he might be a zachar. Nashim avadu l'kam b'farish nashim l'tumtum in alay. Andragonus mol mi yilmutu l'echu b'truma. Mimanuchach. Benchu ish, benchu isha, benchu beri b'vnei atzma. Whether he's male, female, or another creature, another gender called an andragonus, zari shakayinu, he's the kayin's kid. The leftover menachas can only be eaten by male kohanim. The Gemara is going to ask why he said it a second time. We slugged up Ravuna. Others have a girsa. Tanya the Messiah Leila Rav Huna. We're trying to prove Rav Huna right. Because it says, Tumtum Eina Eichel. The high Eichel of the Moshech V'Neilad Mom with the Raisa Kamar. That the Raisa is a proof to Rav Huna. Because when it says, a Moshech can eat, it means biblically. It doesn't mean rabbinically. The siyata de Rav Huna, it's a raya to Rav Huna that you're allowed to eat biblically. It means the brisa doesn't mean rabbinically. The brisa means biblically. Bezusha mati v'niris ikar. To me, it sounds that that's the main shot. So Rashi likes the girsa that we don't have. We have the girsa that it's a kasha on Rav Huna because the brisa says an aro can a tumtum. I'm sorry, a mashuch can eat truma. Mashma can eat truma now, practically. No rabbinic gisser. The other gisser had it. We see that a moshech can eat biblically. Of course he can't eat rabbinically, but we see he can eat biblically, which is a proof to Rav Huna. So Rashi, I like that shot better, because later on the Gemara is going to say that there's a machloikis whether a moshech can eat biblically, cannot eat biblically, or not eat rabbinically. But the Gemara assumes for sure he can't eat. Why is the Gemara assuming that over there? If we slugged up Rav Huna, so you're going to say there's a machloikis tanoim. One says a mashach can't eat biblically. One says a mashach can't eat rabbinically. Hello, we proved that a mashach can eat. Mashman of the Gemara assumes a mashach can't eat. Only question is rabbinic or biblical. And this bride said by saying a mashach can eat means biblical. That's the pshat Rashi likes. The Rashi, my lab b'okim iflagi, the marasav of the rise, the marasav of the rabbanon. I'm a lekel among the machshu legamri. The Gemara does not entertain that a mashach can eat. So therefore, Rashi likes this girsa better than the other girsa. He named the kaddish shekiddish isha. He married a woman. B'shem zocher hu b'kedusha kedushin. The Tanya we learned. Tumtim shekiddish kedushim kedushim misafik. Which we can get and need to get. This Kaddish Kedush Kedushin, when Avkamina Litzuri Hai the Kachi Bachaisa Shotumtum. What difference does it make? Is if someone male married a Tumtum, he can't marry the Tumtum's sister, because maybe the Tumtum is a female and he married her sister. So even if he divorces her, he can't marry the sister of his previous wife. Or he can't marry the Tumtum's mother, Shema Ishahu, because maybe the Tumtum was a woman. The Chumro, the Bina, get me nay. The Kula, the Amina, the Nechzik, the Zachar Vadai. Then he should hold, he's a Zachar Vadai. The Yachol, Bas Yisrael, the Truma. The Gemara answers, you're right. The case that a Tumtum can feed his wife is when we know that the Tumtum is male. There's all kinds of Tumtums. There are Tumtums we don't know what they are, because the whole genital area is covered. And then there's Tumtums that we know who they are. But practically, we can't do a bris. And that is, when we see the bayim, but we don't see the gid. We see the testicles and we don't see the male organ. Therefore, we can't do a bris, but at the same time, we are know for sure that he's a male.
Why do they give it that name
then? Tumtum means covered.
That's very nice, but it's not.
There's different kinds of tumtums.
No. There's some tumtums that are male.
Correct.
I'm saying, well, just give it a.
Still
has
both.
Doesn't have both. I'm dragging it
through. That person is covered. He has to.
Can't do anything. We don't require him to take off the cover because it's dangerous. Surgery was life threatening in those days. Today, theoretically, if it ever happens, they would do surgery immediately and remove the skin. In those days, they didn't play around with that. Dangerous. He could die. That's why the Gemara always talks about tumtum shenikra. Something happened that the skin got ripped off. Never tells a tumtum to go find out who you are. It's dangerous. He might kill himself. Surgery was life-threatening. Pre-antibiotic days. Right.
What is the term
Kedushin?
It's a suffix. Oh, Be'er B'chutz?
Yeah.
Why not? So Baruch Maish asked the question before, how can Kedushin be typhus? He's not royal labia. And we learned earlier in the Masechta that anybody who can't have Bia can't have Chuppah. So how can he ever marry? So that's Tysus' question, the bottom Tysus. And Tysus answers that since he could, he's not a not bar chuppah because it's just a technicality. Theoretically, it could be taken off and he might be royal Abiyah ultimately. Therefore, the Kedushin is a Kedushin. Look at the bottom Tysus, Mibachot.
That was the one he was reading, but he
asked.
No, it was not.
He can't forget that he asked Tyson's discussion.
No, because you know they're playing around with him, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but there are people on the phone that don't know you're playing around with
him. But I just said it, if they are listening. What does Otis Rahmana Patri mean?
He's Patri. But he's still an Arl. What you want to know is, but it's a good question, what you mean to ask, is Rabbeinu Tam who says that if one who lost two brothers to Mila is not an Aro, because what do you want from the guy? He can't do Bris Mila. Why is Tum Tum different?
He should not be the Parsha of...
He should be the same as the one who's made so... Only according to Rabbeinu Tam. According to Rashi, Aro is a physical fact. According to Rabbeinu Tam, you have a question. Why should Aro be different than Tum Tum? Why is Mesu Achav Machmas Mila not an Aro, and Tumtum, yes, an Aro? We had a Machloikis Rashi Rabbeinu Tam back, I spoke out last week, that when somebody lost two brothers to Mila, there's no mitzvah. In fact, it's prohibited to mal the third son. Is that kid an Aro? Rashi says yes. Rabbeinu Tam says no. What do you want from the guy? He's not allowed to do Bris Mila.
He's not an
Aro? Halakhically, he's not an Aro. That's Rabbeinu Tam says.
He can eat Truma?
He can eat Truma.
What's the Mishnah
say when it's here? Talk to Rabbeinu Tam. It's talking about a guy who's scared to do Bris. Not that he can't. Right. That's Rabbeinu Tam. Yes, I did. So the question you want to know is, according to Rabbeinu Tam, why is that different than a Tumtum? Where the Gemara clearly states that a Tumtum cannot eat Kachem, or a Tumtum cannot eat Truma, right? Because it might be a male Arol. Why? He's an Anus. Why is he different than the one who's Mesu Achav Machmas Mila? That's the question you're asking. It's a good question. If I had to guess...
You can't say that I looked it up because I don't know where it's at.
Nobody accused you of looking it up. I don't know where it's at either. But if you ask me, I would say the answer is that a Meitzu Achav Machmas Mila, the Torah does not allow him to be mild, period. A Tumtum, it's not like the Torah doesn't let him be mild, just can't get to it. But it's not like the Torah doesn't let him. So the Arla itself is nothing wrong in removing
it. Dangerous.
It's dangerous to remove the skin. But it's not. But if it's not like the Mila is dangerous, it's something else that's dangerous. It's not that the Mila is dangerous. The Mila is fine. He just can't get to it. Right. And Meitzu Achav Machmas Mila, the Torah doesn't want you to do the Mila. Here, the Torah doesn't care if you do the Mila, it just can't get to it. That's what I would guess would be the answer. But it needs thought. And, yeah, according to Rashi, it's not a question, because Rashi holds an Aro is a physical fact. But Rabbeinu Tam says that one who is not allowed to do Bris Mila is not an Aro. Aro is a halachic fact. Which, by the way, Rashi agrees to a certain point, because we learned that a seven-day-old kid is not considered an Aro, even though he has an Arla. Right? But there's no mitzvah Mila in him yet. So, you know, the question is, where do you draw that line? Anyway, back to the Gemara. So Abaye learned that the case of the Tumtum having a wife is a Tumtum who we know is a male, but is a Tumtum because the part of the Mila is covered up and we can't get to it. But we know he's male, and therefore he can marry. The Kedushin is Typhus. It's his wife, and she can eat Truma. She can eat Truma. She's married to a Kayan. The Kayan can't eat Truma because he has a technical difficulty that he's an Aro. Zakti Gemara Weiter. Bravo Amar, a different Terence. Rava says, my nashav, imai. You're right. A tumtum can't have a wife. You know what it means, nashav? It means his mom. The Kayan married a woman, and they had a son, a tumtum, and then the Kayan died. So the mother can eat truma if she has an offspring from the Kayan. The tumtum is an offspring. Whether it's male or female, it's a child. Therefore, the mother can eat truma. So nashav, which usually means wife, here means woman, not wife. His mother can eat truma.
What did we have before that? Something was written in a certain way, and then mother, was that bas?
Yes, bas. Zakti gemara imai pshita. Of course. What's the chiddush? He's a child. Zakti gemara ma'udatem ma'ilid macho, she'ena ma'ilid ena macho. Maybe a prerequisite in a child is a child that can procreate. The tumtum cannot procreate. So maybe a child that doesn't have the ability to procreate is not considered a child that can feed the mother the truma. Only a child that can perpetuate generations. This tumtum, unfortunately, is probably never going to have children, and therefore cannot procreate. Maybe he cannot feed his mother. Kamash Malan, it has nothing to do with his ability to procreate. He's a child, he can feed his mother. Rashi? Mailid machos imoy betruma. The Zakina loy v'yilid besoy. We learn it out from the pasuk, born in his house. But Roy Lohilet. Maybe it has to be somebody that can have children. Kamash Milan, that we don't say. So we have Abaya's teretz and Rava's teretz, which we're going to now go into. Touch them out.
If a Kohen gives, he has a daughter but not a son, and he dies, can his wife eat from the because of the daughter?
Correct. Correct.
Yes.
Yes. He had a child. Tashima. If you notice the braisa that we read before, repeated at the end again, right? It said tumtum einaychu b'tshuma. Then at the end of the braisa, it repeated tumtum einaychu loy b'tshuma v'loy b'katshu. Look at the braisa. Started off tumtum einaychu b'tshuma, then continued on about an androgynous, then came back and said tumtum einaychu loy b'tshuma v'loy b'katshu. Sorry?
In the middle it says.
Right, and then it moves on. Bashoch, Nagshimo, Adragonus. Then it repeats Tumtum again. So the question is, why did it repeat Tumtum twice? You started off with Tumtum, you ended up with Tumtum. So why did the brides have to say it twice? So according to Abaya, we can say Pshat. The first Tumtum, we know is male. It's Be'ev Mibachutz. That's the one where it said he had a wife. So it says, he's an oral. The second tumtum, we don't know what it is. So they have to tell me, he can't eat from either. Right? The first one just tells me, you have a male tumtum. You know he's male, but you can't do bris milah. He cannot eat truma. The second tumtum is saying, even a tumtum that you don't know is male, and might not be an oral, still he can't eat truma. So there's a chiddush in the first one, and a chiddush in the second one. Dr. Gemara. The first case is Arul Vadai. He's for sure male, but he's an Arul. And then the Sefer says a Tumtum, who we don't know whether he's male or female. El Rava, Tumtum the Sefer Lomeli. What's the chiddush of repeating it? Right? What's the chiddush? You already told me tumtum can't eat truma. Why'd you repeat it again? Zakti Gemara, my tumtum aro. The second tumtum doesn't mean tumtum. It means someone who doesn't have his genital area covered. He's an aro. He's a regular male boy who didn't have a bris milah. So the first case of tumtum is a real tumtum. The second tumtum doesn't mean tumtum. It means an aro.
Covered.
Not covered.
Thing. His
arl is covered, but he's not covered, correct. Zakti Gemara, what's the chiddush? Has to suffix arl le'achu, vaday arl le'achu. If it's covered, you don't let him eat because he might be male, so for sure he's vaday arl. Zakti Gemara, matam ka'amar. The bottom is explaining the top. Matam tumtum ein le'achu b'tshuma. Why isn't the tumtum eating truma? The second tumtum is to say, you know why a tumtum doesn't eat truma? Because an aro doesn't eat truma, and he might be an aro. So the Brisa is explaining itself. Now, it's strange that the Brisa says it at the beginning and then comes back at the end and explains the beginning and uses a word that doesn't mean tumtum, it means aro. But that's how Rava learns the Brisa. Rashi? My tumtum, the tani b'seifa, aro gomer. My tam gomer, seifa lefrusha reisha asa. The seifa is explaining the reisha. Lucky gomer. My tam tumtum enaychol lukhnei, shusafet aro. For aro ain aichulay b'truma v'lay b'kach. Tumtum doesn't eat because he might be an aro, and an aro doesn't eat truma and kach.
Tam safik.
But it's a safik deraisa. It's a safik deraisa. He might be an aro. Fine. So at the end of the day, before we move on, because we're going to get back to this, Rav Huna said a halacha that a mashuch cannot eat biblically, can eat truma biblically, but not rabbinically. And depending on the tulish shyness of the Gemara, we either prove them wrong or prove them right. First lashon of the Gemara is we prove them wrong, because the Braita says mashuch can eat truma, and we understand that Braita to mean he can eat truma. And the second lashon is that we brought him right, that the bride meant he can eat truma biblically, not that he can eat truma rabbinically.
First one we said that it was the rice, the rabbanon make him have
meal. Again, the bride said, "Machuk v'naylik kishumbal ha'le'ilu oichlim." So in the first lashon we took that to take that even rabbinically they can eat. Hare'ilu oichlim. That's not like Rav Huna.
That
with the rabbanon they can't eat. And this rice that says Hare Elu Eichlem.
And the rice is not talking about the rice.
Not if you read it simply. So proves Rav Huna wrong. Chufta Rav Huna, chufta. Second lashon learns Ein Eichlem means biblically. Hare Elu Eichlem means biblically. But rabbinically it is prohibited. So proves Rav Huna right that it can eat biblically. Doesn't prove the rabbinic part, but it proves the biblical part. So it depends on how you gyrus. Rashi brings two gyrsas, either Meisrei or Lema Messiah. Rashi likes the second one better. Our gyrsa in the Gemara is the first one. It's unusual. Because usually when Rashi has two gyrsas and he likes one better, the printer puts in the one Rashi likes better. Whoever decided to put this girsa into the print was going with Rashi's first girsa, not Rashi's second girsa, which is unusual. Usually, our girsa in the Gemara follows Rashi's preferred girsa. Here, for some reason, Rashi brings the other girsa first, then the girsa he likes better last, which is also unusual. Usually he brings the girsa he likes first, and then brings the second one and says why he doesn't like it. Here he brings the gears he doesn't like first, then brings the second one and says, I like that one better. And the printer went with the first one, whoever decided, I mean, I don't mean the printer, whoever organized the Gemara that we have, went with the first gears over the second gears, and I don't know what. We will stop here, continue Mitzvah Shem tomorrow morning.